All right. You're listening to Green Left Radio. And on the line, we have our second guest for the program, Paul Gregoire, who is a journalist with Sydney Criminal Lawyers and also a regular kind of contributor to Green Left as well. And just recently, Paul Gregoire wrote, I guess, an article about some of the recent kind of changes to the Migration Act that the federal government has kind of locked in, and basically wrote about how these kind of laws essentially are hardened, aimed against refugees and, I guess, asylum seekers. So, yeah, good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Happy lockdown.
Yeah. Well, you're not in lockdown, but because you're in Sydney.
No, for you.
So, Paul, I guess maybe to start off, what can you tell us, I guess, about some of these changes and amendments that, I guess, have been made to the Migration Act? And I guess we'll kind of start from there.
Well, on the 13th of May, the government passed a bill called the Clarifying International Obligations Removal Bill, which amended the Migration Act. The government said it did this as the 2017 federal court ruling found a section of the Act was forcing its hand to send protected unlawful non-citizens back to their countries of origin in breach of our nation's non-refoulement obligations. So the principle of non-refoulement is contained in the 1951 Refugee Convention. It means states that have ratified the convention, like Australia, can't send refugees back to the country from which they fled, if it entails a risk of irreparable harm. So they've changed the law with bipartisan approval so that in the case of protected unlawful non-citizens, the government is not forced to send them back to danger. An unlawful non-citizen is a person from overseas who doesn't have a visa, so they can't stay here. Often they're overseas residents who have had visas cancelled for breaking the law. So if you get over, say, 12 months prison sentence at the moment today, you can be deported automatically because that can be multiple offences, multiple minor offences. So they can be deported, or these people can also be people who've arrived seeking asylum, but they haven't been let in. So if an unlawful non-citizen has been found to have protected status, it means they face harm if they return to their country of origin. So on the surface, new Home Affairs Minister Karen Andrews is simply trying to do the right thing. She and her department have said in not having to send these vulnerable people back to potential harm, but there are also other reasons.
And isn't, I guess, a consequence of these kind of amendments is essentially kind of like the entrenchment of indefinite detention. So, yeah, what can you, I guess, comment on that?
Well, that's right. So there is this more sinister reason for having changed the law. The government is detaining over 100 of these protected unlawful non-citizens in immigration facilities who's now been there for over 5 years. It can't send them back and it won't let them into the country. One guy is heading up to 12 years in detention now. But last summer, the government was forced to release a 29-year-old Syrian man back into the community after he'd spent 6 years in immigration detention. His visa had been cancelled due to breaking the law, but the government couldn't send him back to Syria because it had the non-refoulement obligation. The reason why they had to release him was because his lawyer, who's Alison Patterson, she's from Human Rights for All, she argued that under the principle of habeas corpus, there needs to be a reason for a person to be detained. And this man should have been deported back to Syria under this law that they changed, but that wasn't happening. So they had to release him because there was no reason for his detention. So what they've now done is they've made that change to the law, which has reversed this need to send people back to their country even if they face a risk if they've had their visa cancelled. So they've upturned that. There's no longer that precedent is no longer set. So now these people can just continue to languish indefinitely in detention centres. So So they've had their visas cancelled for criminal convictions. They've already served their time in prison, but now they're just spending indefinite detention, time in indefinite detention.
And I guess going into this, we're kind of just discussing, you know, before we were kind of doing this interview, we're kind of having a bit of a discussion about, I guess, the role, I guess, of law and, I guess, activist kind of movements. But I guess going into, I want to kind of ask a question about some of the implications of this for, in terms of the Medivac refugees who remain in detention. And another kind of context as well is, do these kind of changes in law, is it meant to kind of address a particular kind of issue, which was basically a number of the Medivac refugees, the government was actually in some sense forced in a position where it actually had to release some of these refugees who were being detained, Medivac refugees who were kind of being detained, and it had to kind of, and it was the kind of result of some legal kind of efforts by lawyers. And so, yeah, is there sort of any sort of connection between these changes?
Yeah, there was rumours that there was a connection, and everyone was questioning it, like amongst the activist community. Is this why? Because when a few of the Medivac detainees were released in December, and people started saying, is it because that Syrian man was released on the habeas corpus ruling? I spoke to National Justice Project's George Newhouse last week or the week before, and he said he didn't think that was a reason. The government has blocked up this legal loophole to deal with people like the Syrian man. These laws won't affect the Medivac people. But having said that, I also spoke to Refugee Action Coalition's Ian Rintel, and he believes that he can see a correlation between the new laws and also the government's position, which has changed on the Medivac refugees.
You can feel free to continue, Paul, if you're saying.
Well, I was going to say, the Medivac refugees, they came here, there was about 100 of them, about 10 of them were released last December, and people thought it was because the Syrian man had been released. Then by February, about 100 of them have all been released into the community. And Rintel says that back in January, the government looked set to release them all. And Dutton was saying that suddenly it was a financially sound idea to release them and let them into the community. So 100 released. But then there were 60 more odd more, like, still in hotels. They're in a facility in Darwin and various immigration facilities. They're still in there. And months later, it now seems like the government isn't, they're not about to be released like the others. And there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason why some have been released and why some haven't, because basically they're all given a security clearance to come to Australia after they've been in on the Nauru or Manus for like 7 odd years. And so they'd all been cleared together to come to the mainland, and 100 have been released and 60 are still there.
Paul, I had a question. What does United Nations Refugee Convention or law say about keeping people in indefinite detention?
The UN, the refugee, it doesn't allow for indefinite detention. We should not be detaining people indefinitely.
It's a form of torture, is it not?
Form of torture. I don't know the precise classification of that, but that's probably under the UN torture treaty.
Well, the next kind of question, and then we'll probably get around to kind of concluding, is we've had a bit of discussion about some of the implications of this legislation for refugees. But I guess I'm kind of interested in hearing what is, I guess, the implications of this legislation for those who are outside that, like people who are migrants. I forgot the kind of correct kind of term, but there's also people who've come from New Zealand and decide to kind of settle in here. Like, what does this legislation sort of say on sort of those aspects, I guess, of migration?
Well, this legislation will affect non-citizens, like, so basically foreign residents who live here but don't have citizenship. They can have their visa cancelled today if they are sentenced to more than 12 months prison time. This law was changed in 2014 under Scott Morrison as Immigration Minister. And the effect it had is, because it used to be 24 months and they dragged it down to 12 months, and the effect it had is it started to cause the mass deportation of New Zealanders. So they've deported a couple of thousand New Zealanders since early 2015 under these laws. But those people don't have protected status because New Zealand, returning them to New Zealand isn't returning them to irreparable harm. But so they're not affected by these laws. It's protected people. So if you're in the same situation and say you're from Syria or you're a Rohingya person and you're from Myanmar and all of a sudden you've fallen short of the law, this can be for, there are numerous New Zealanders in Christmas Island right now who are there for traffic offences. And so you can have numerous traffic offences, be a Rohingya person, you're sent to detention, they can't send you back, but they won't release you back in the community. Those people will just sit in long-term detention as of the new laws.
All right. Well, we're kind of reaching, I guess, a bit of the kind of end of our time. Paul, do you, I guess, have any kind of final kind of comments you'd like to make? And also, you can feel free to kind of make a plug for the feature article you've written for Green Left.
Oh, yeah, I wrote an article on this for the Green Left. But, I mean, I do think it's important to know that the government has been turfing out all these New Zealanders as well. I mean, not a lot of people know that half the population in the detention centre is often, well, a quarter is often New Zealanders these days, and they're being turfed out because our Prime Minister decided to change the laws, make them harder.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Paul. I think you've given a good kind of overview of some of these changes and, I guess, the implications it has had for refugees and asylum seekers and non-citizens. So, yeah, keep up the good kind of journalism and, thank you very much for speaking to us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks again, Paul.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you too.